Welcome back to the second week of Chronicles of a Feral Wife. I'm actually excited for this episode because it's episode two, so I feel like some of our kinks have been worked out of us a little bit. I'm sure we'll have more kinks along the way, but not knowing what to expect going into it and knowing a little bit more now makes me a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more excited to continue on this journey as podcasters. And this week, I want to take on one of the buzzwords that people love to use on the TikTok channel. And that is that when I was 18 and started dating Mike when he was 34, that my, well, it's a frontal cortex development technically, but they call it my frontal lobe is what people like to use on
your impulse control.
My impulse control. They like to talk about how My impulse control wasn't under control yet. I mean, I don't even know if that'll
usually
ever...
Usually told to us by people that have a hard time stopping their impulse to tell us about the impulse.
Yeah, so that specific word likes to get used all the time on our age gap content, that it wasn't developed, and people always go to the number that's typically put out there that it's done developing by 25, but science claims that development of the frontal cortex is approximately early 20s to mid 20s. But I wanted to read something here that I've done a little bit of research because Mike actually talked to me about it, I don't know, a few weeks ago. But what do you, so before I read what I found, you did some general research on frontal cortex.
Development, and usually it has to do with problems that you've had to solve, things, any sort of events that you've gone through in life, any sort of difficulties that you've had to overcome. And some people overcome many hurdles early, and some people are, for lack of a better word, relatively pampered or unexposed or have yet to go through those types of things. And, you know, everyone experiences things differently.
Which is what we're going to get to. But this was an interesting little portion of an article that I read. The prefrontal cortex. One of the biggest differences researchers have found between adults and adolescents is the prefrontal cortex. This part of the brain is still developing in teens and doesn't complete its growth until approximately early to mid-20s. The prefrontal cortex performs reasoning, planning, judgment, and impulse control, necessities for being an adult. Without fully development of the prefrontal cortex, a teen might make poor decisions and lack the inability to discern whether a situation is safe. Teens tend to experiment with risky behavior and don't fully recognize the consequences of their choices. Which, as you just mentioned,
that sounds like risk-taking behavior.
It does sound like risk-taking behavior. And sure, was dating a 34-year-old at 18 possibly a little bit risky? Yeah. Yes. I think there's a lot of teenagers, 18, 19-year-olds, that shouldn't be dating, probably in general at all.
I, without going too far down this road, said that's when I lost a particular innocence of mine, was 18.
That's true. So the life experiences, as Mike had mentioned a second ago, plays a really big factor in your frontal cortex development. So that takes us back to our childhoods, and something that I do want to talk about, because another question that we like to get is, what would a 34-year-old have in common with an 18-year-old, and why would there be attraction outside of a sexual attraction? Which, of course, I have made plenty of suggested comments that obviously there was BDE involved in our relationship from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just the truth, and that's.
I worked myself up into a decent position in life, and most everything was done through merit. And
well, okay, I'm talking about the beginning of our relationship. Don't take it too personal on the part about the BDE and what attracted me to you out the gate.
Not that I was proud or anything of who I was, but I was proud of my accomplishments. I haven't forgotten where I've come from, and you know, I'm just.
So the point of this episode is to talk about our childhoods, talk about our frontal cortex development, and kind of our foundation to who we are as humans. Because for my childhood growing up, a big heart of my life and something that my dad always talked about was that a cornerstone of your foundation is your family. And I truly believe that. But you and I have two polar opposite families. So let's start with your childhood and where you come from.
I guess to try and make a long story short or kind of put this into a nutshell, raised by a very strong, independent, single mom. Dad was kind of out of the picture. I was ring bearer at their wedding at 5. She was a waitress, and so it was pretty limited upbringing, monetarily speaking, but I knew that she cared about me, and she worked very hard to show that. Spent a lot of time with my grandparents and great-grandparents. I was blessed to have great-grandparents in my life, and they were business owners, tavern owners, and being from Wisconsin, being a tavern owner in Wisconsin, not that they were rich or anything, but they were loved. And my grandfather and grandmother on my mom's side, they were her adopted parents. And my mom's adopted father, my papa, was the first person to hold me in my life. So I was raised by an older generation. I saw what hard work was from early on. I was contributing to the household at
13.
I think
a big factor, though, because you're being so, I don't even want to say politically correct, but you're being so tactful in the way that you talk about your upbringing. You had a very hard upbringing compared to me.
it would probably be difficult and challenging for most, but here, I'll give you a short story. Mom being a waitress, she was in her 20s. Let's see, she'd have been in her 20s then. So she was having a good time, and I was in my room doing my homework in first grade, and Mom had had friends over and music playing and stuff like that, and I come busting out of my room and told them they better shut it down because I've got a book report to do. I have work to do here, people, so settle it down. So that was me. I was always real serious about academics because I recognized the position that I was in as a child, and I knew that it was probably going to be education and hard work that got me out of it.
You were born out of wedlock to teenagers.
Yeah.
And your dad attempted to do right, especially in the 70s.
Yeah, he was pushed to it. Yeah.
Marrying your mom, mm-hmm. which should have not happened.
Yeah.
Because that caused a lot of toxic environments for you as a child.
Yeah, it was a tense environment. As I mentioned, I was the ring bearer at their wedding. One of my mom's stories is that their wedding night, their honeymoon, he slept on the couch. So that gives you a little indication of how that relationship went. I don't believe that it lasted the year.
For the marriage side of it. So that your... So then your dad moved out west. You grew up in the Midwest. And I don't think
you... He moved south to Milwaukee.
Oh, he moved south to Milwaukee, and then he moved west at some point.
Yeah.
And so you did not go out and visit him until your dad got remarried, if I remember correctly. Mm. Was that the first...
I spent a little time with him in summers in Milwaukee. We went to
going
race.
Out west. First time we heading west.
I think I was 13.
Yeah,
came out for my father's second wedding, unbeknownst to me. That was my welcome to hi. This is how we live. And by the way, this is your new stepmom.
Well, and if I remember correctly, they didn't tell your mom because they didn't want her to say no.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of we'll call it shenanigans. I don't know what everyone went through. I was an innocent young bystander, and I'm more than excited to go out and visit. I'd never really spent much time outside Wisconsin. I'd traveled a little bit, but to go to Washington and meeting my father's side of the family, where there was a little bit of monetary influence, was like eye-opening. And just seeing how the other half lived was pretty impressive. And I had always wanted to be... My voice is the exact carbon copy of my father's, no matter what I do.
Oh, and there's such a good story about that coming later on in the podcast, but of getting you too confused on the phone.
So there's nature and nurture, obviously, and I always wanted to be like Dad. You know, I don't know how many little boys don't want to be like their dad. My dad was a race car driver, and he was into cars and stuff like that. And I always wanted to be close to Dad. So.
Didn't on your first trip out, didn't you fall off a skateboard and break your front tooth? Was that that trip?
That was that trip. We were at the game room, and they had a helium tank for filling the balloons. Well, I had a cousin, and they had a golf cart, and I was a skater at the time, and took a few pulls off the helium, talking squeaky voice, having fun like that. It was nothing serious, having a great time. Get down, out tagging along on the golf cart, and everything went black and white. And then the ground came up at me.
Gosh,
and I bounced.
I wish I could have been a fly.
And I looked, I was like, I think that's my tooth.
If I could have been a fly on the wall when and that then call came to your mom.
Yeah, I don't know if the call went to mom. I think that was delivered broken. Broken goods.
Yeah.
And then they fought over who should pay for the dentist bill, so I got to spend 2 years with looking like Lloyd Christmas in my school pictures. So yeah, great times.
So I feel like in a nutshell that really represents your childhood.
There wasn't a lot to be proud of, I'll put it that
way.
I was studious. I was trying to get out of whatever I was in. I didn't know how.
The nature versus nurture, and then how that develops you as a human, especially when we're talking about factors that influence our frontal cortex development, because we'll spin the table on, we'll discuss my childhood, because again, why would a 34-year-old have any interest in an 18-year-old? Because what could they possibly have in common? A lot of our childhood foundation has to do with who we are as people and what's developed us into who we are today. Because even today, as business owners, you have this, because you were raised on welfare by a single mother and you didn't have that father influence in your life, really, where he stepped up and helped financially in your childhood and was there as a father figure for you as a child.
Mom had boyfriends. But
you didn't have a strong father figure. And so...
just my papa.
And so that does impact you even now as an adult, because if I wasn't at one of our businesses, there are people that notice that you have that soft heart and will take advantage of your soft heart because it's happened... I've had to step in and go, okay, they're using and abusing you.
Yeah, let's just put it this way. It's not my ability or technique that would have lost me a business. It would be the big heart and the fact that I would have given my business away years ago.
Yeah, our business.
Our business, yeah. Well, it is our business because there wouldn't be a business to speak of if it wasn't for your help. So it takes a team to make the dream.
So... your childhood, you did have really great grandparents and great grandparents that were involved, but you were raised by a single mom on welfare, and there was a lot of struggles in the world of knowing that you had a father that had a second family that was not something that you were necessarily really included or embraced in your formidable years. In all honesty, in your formidable years, they did not embrace you as a kid. So that has made a big impact on you, even now as an adult, because...
Yeah, I always have a chip on my shoulder, I guess.
Well, I like how you have a soft shoe chip on your shoulder, but...
Well, yeah. Empathetic.
Spinning the tables to my childhood and the frontal cortex development and yada, 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 the buzzword that everyone loves to use. So I grew up polar opposite. I was born into a very big family. Parents that were happily married and madly in love with each other. Had three older siblings. I say had because my oldest sister passed away earlier this year. Actually January 2nd of 2023. And so three older siblings I grew up in a valley where I was a part of the founding family. I think I was fifth or sixth generation, somewhere in there. And so when we go back to visit that area, which we go to often, quite literally, we passed my grandfather's oldest sister's house, and then we'll get to my parents' house, my childhood home. And then we'll get to my grandparents' house and then my grandfather's next two younger sisters' houses. So I grew up in a 2-mile stretch with great aunts, uncles, and grandparents just right there, which is similar to you in the sense that you also have great grandparents that were active in your life. But the difference is that I had a very loving childhood home that had a very healthy home life with two very invested parents it's interesting to talk about this because here's the kicker on this whole thing is that my mom went through cancer twice in my childhood. I think I was in kindergarten the first time that she got cancer, and then she went into remission when I was in fourth grade, and she passed away on her 49th year. She would have been 50 that April, but she passed away February at 49. And I wasn't prepared for it, but I was as a 10-year-old. It's really interesting because I can remember actually quite clearly when I got picked up from school by the family friend who it was very not like them to just kind of pick us up out of the blue. And so I remember just being like, when he got there to pick me up, I was like, did mom die? And he did not address me, did not answer my question, didn't say anything, was like teary-eyed the whole ride home.
Jess has always been blunt.
I've always been blunt. Like he came to pick me up and I was like, is mom dead? Like I remember that. And then he just said, you have to talk to your dad when you get home. And that's like, that was it. And so I remember sitting on dad's knee, being told that mom, I think his exact words, mom went to heaven. And just kind of, there's, I don't know, more to that story that is wild of her passing that I might tell one day, I might not. But our dad was so certain that she was not going to pass. And they did so much. So her first bout of cancer, they spent time on the East Coast going to a cancer facility there. And then when she got it the second time, they actually went to Tijuana and did treatment in Mexico that was not FDA approved. And when they came back, my mom had round the clock home care at our home, and dad would have done anything to make it so that she would have survived. And so I know for him it was a really big shock. So one of the interesting things for this is that Mike can attest to this, is that even though I lost my mom at a really young age, and I think if you don't turn your mic off, that feedback is going to be in the mic, but that's fine. We're working on it. It's still new to us here, folks. So Mike and I both have step parents. We both have stepmoms, I should say. And so, I'm hoping one day that neither of them ever listen to this podcast, but if they do, hi, we're airing out the dirty laundry. Don't mind us.
It is what it is.
It's the truth. So
we can tell your truth here.
Yeah. So that was dad's first love and first wife and his, I hate to say it like this, but his one true love. And so I could show you, I should probably actually make a TikTok of this, of the, all the VHS videos that we have from my childhood and before I was born and all the VHSs that my dad recorded. And one of the things I wanted to do for Mike in a way to introduce him to my mom was to watch family videos with him. And so there, you have a distinct memory of watching dad.
Well, your father never failed to capture anything. And I mean by anything, I mean anything. The man was a walking producer, and how amazing it was to be able to witness some of these things with their family through the years.
Sister, there's a VHS of my sister being born in 1992. And if you want to see what women looked like in 1992 on their personal care, you can get the full on footage of that. Yeah. And her coming into the world.
Everything was captured. Anyway, The video that I'm going to refer to has to do with the expedition to Disney.
Well, that's not the one I wanted you to share, actually.
I thought that was that one.
No, the one I'm trying to get out. Nope. Not my personality. What Dad's love for mom. That story is the one I wanted to share. Because you see it as an outsider better than I saw it.
It was, pulled out the videotapes and the entire family was all, it was a busy room. Everyone was kind of sitting around, chatting, talking. The videos were kind of playing in the background. And pretty soon you look over and Earl was leaned forward. And you could tell that the rest of the room had melted away because he was watching videos of he and his wife together.
And he was just so locked in on her. And so yes, I grew up with a single father. I lost my mom at 10, which is very traumatic. And I'm sure there's people out there that are going to go, oh, you're emotional thinking about how much he loved her. I love that.
Yeah.
Because he did. So that emotion that Mike sees is how I grew up with a father who had that much love for his first wife that even makes Mike emotional because literally the way Dad would talk about her.
He was so impressive. He was such an impressive man.
Well,
pardon me while I wipe my eyes here.
But he had such a love for her. So even though I did lose mom rather traumatically because we were all so convinced that she was going to survive, I still knew how much my father loved our mom and how much she was his world. And so that was such a stark difference. And that really shapes you as a child, as a preteen, as a teenager, because the other thing that our dad was really good about, at least for my younger sister and I, especially being an older father, because he was 47 when I was born and 49 when my little sister was born, was that when growing up for my birthday and for Valentine's Day, he would always send flowers. And so middle school and high school, I always got flowers. And then as an adult, he always sent me flowers on my birthday in addition to a card and usually a gift. And so for me, like, he really showed me as a woman what a loving, caring man is to a woman and how they should be treated. And so when Dad, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the cards were always dated too, so you could go back and reflect. You never had to wonder when they came from, what year this was from. He was very meticulous about it.
Because he had OCD.
Well,
there was also a huge shortcoming being a wild teenager, preteen, and messing with a father who had OCD. That's maybe other stories for another time.
Little things out of place, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yes. I could tell a fun story about a woman that... I'll save that for another day. So I might share it in this podcast. We'll see. So he was a very intelligent, very strong-willed, had a very demanding, powerful presence. He went to Syracuse. Well, that was where he finished his four-year degree. He went on to go to Yale and got his master's and then went to the University of Washington for his PhD. And so very intelligent, and he was a very good-looking man, and he would definitely use that in his benefits, especially when he began dating. And he was a charmer. And I've kind of interviewed one of my older siblings and have shared some of that on TikTok too, just about kind of what it was like being a teenager when Dad did go back to dating, and how that also shaped me as a human. And we're going to go back to this. I'm going to pause this for one quick second. And we are back. Let's wrap up this podcast for you all. So chatting a little bit about my 0 through 10 years of having two very loving, doting parents into losing mom and just the benefit of having a father who just really did love and adore our mother and kind of how he took care of my little sister and I as a single father. But he did, I'm not gonna lie, he totally was a man's man. And totally had girlfriends. And it's tough because, like, no woman ever was going to replace our mom. And so there was a lot of struggles with that. And it was interesting to kind of see and be a part of. And I'm sure there's people out there that are going to be like, oh my gosh, she's got so much childhood traumas and daddy issues, and that's why she's with an older man. When in reality, you can paint it whatever you want, but that's your version of my story, and that's not necessarily...
If you ever met her father, yeah, that'd be somebody to aspire to, so I wouldn't call that an issue anyway.
Yeah, you can... Yeah, we'll share more about him, I'm sure, in later podcasts. But the teen years, I had a really tough time as a teenager. We both had a lot of freedom, and in being teenagers, even so, Mike grew up from 75 to 85. Yeah, for different reasons, we just both had a lot of freedom, and which creates a well-informed ability to have agency when you turn 18.
Yeah, I was a latchkey kid, so mom was busy at work or waitressing, so I entertained myself from the time I got home, so I had to be responsible for me.
Well, but at the same time, like, dad also was busy working and or traveling, doing whatever he was doing, and I had the opportunity to kind of be a little bit of a wild child. And my little sister and I, this is one thing I like to go back to on talking about how... like not necessarily trauma responses, but my sister and I were raised very much by the same man, and we're just two very polar opposite personalities when it comes down to us. So it's, if you looked at us side by side, like, she's one of my closest persons in my life, but I'm the bullheaded bully, outgoing, aggressive, intense, whereas she's the complete opposite of that. She's super sweet, super caring, really kind, really empathetic. She gets along with everyone. She and I are just completely different from each other in that aspect. And so, like, both of us lived through our mom's death, and we both were raised by the same dad, and we, being polar opposites, the environment argument is kind of hard when you look at having two very close in age test subjects to that theory for us. You can't.
She's probably the sweetest of all of you, guaranteed.
Hands down, even over Jennifer.
Jennifer was super sweet.
My oldest sister, Jennifer
loved me, and I love Jennifer too.
Was born in 1971 to my parents when my mother was 20 and my father was 27, and she was born Down syndrome, and which makes a very unique upbringing for me as well, which does actually, I guess, add into my childhood and who I am as a person, because I had the blessing of being raised with a sibling with special needs.
And they fought for her independence.
And my parents fought for her independence. And as adults, we fought for my sister's independence in many ways. And so all my siblings and I have done that. I don't even remember. Okay. So the whole test theory on trauma.
Oh, sorry.
Your mic's off. So if you're going to talk, you got to turn it on. So the nature versus nurture, the trauma of being 10 when she passed, and oh, that has to be why I have daddy issues, this and that. No, you can, my little sister just happens to come really down to personalities and who we are as people.
I think you were only handed that test in life because you're prepared for it.
Which test? Not
honestly, losing a parent. It's one of those things where, without getting religious, God only hands you tests which he feels that you can pass. And you're a pretty strong person. So to have someone that young have to go through that and deal with it head on.
I think
looking for that silver lining, I guess, but yeah, I'm going to mention I'm going to have to go back to the video of Disney.
Go ahead. Just, you can tell a story and we can find it for a later podcast, and maybe we get lucky enough
because
we're filming this
on.
Okay. Ooh, I just pulled out my headset. See, this thing like pops. You already said I had issues with this. Plug me back in. Turn me on.
Hang on. Quit moving.
Oh, I couldn't take a moment to not ask you to turn me on TV.
No, the it was funny because going through all these home movies and over the years, there's one clip, there's one movie, there's one instance that kind of sums it all up for Jess, I say. And it really speaks to her parenting because you were at Disneyland?
It speaks to how I was up before you tell us. It speaks to my childhood because I actually do have a clip that I know right off the top of my head where this clip is, so I can include this one. But my dad called my sister Joylynn. She was called Dinah, short for dynamite, because she'd go off like dynamite. But my nickname was Nuki, short for nuclear. And I will throw in a clip because we're actually recording this on Christmas. Yeah. And this specific clip that I'm going to throw in here for you guys to see, if you watch this, where you can watch this video. If not, you're just hearing it. So you won't get the cool effects of getting to watch this if you're just listening to us. But my dad is actually recording this on Christmas Day in this video where he refers to me as Nuki. And that's actually kind of cool because we are recording this episode on Christmas Day as well.
Well, there's Nuke. Turn your chair around, Nuke. There's Dinah. Short for dynamite when she was a little girl. Now we call, and that's Jessica. She's our laid back kid that takes after her dad.
Jacqueline.
Did I say what?
You said Jess.
Well, that's a parental right in affliction, calling their kids by their wrong name. There's nuclear. Nuke for nuclear. Jessica.
Highly, one of the most dangerous explosive
pen. Oh, yeah. I haven't figured out how to work this fade button yet. Linda's doing her last minute wrapping. She's in behind me this year, but things have been really hectic.
Oh,
at least I got them.
You want to end it on that video without me describing?
Nope. Because the Disney one's a good one. So I would say this was probably in 1996. And this doesn't just sum up my personality and who I am, but it also really does sum up how I was nurtured, being a very intense nuclear individual who my parents knew was a very strong-willed, aggressive individual in life. And
it was It's like, oh, she's always been like this.
Yeah. And my dad, like, I've got lots of nicknames. One of those is nuclear, but the other one that my siblings and my father like to refer to me as is sledge, short for sledgehammer, for sledgehammer diplomacy. Like, for me, it's very black and white, cut and dry. So
you don't like it, you're gonna hammer it home.
Yeah. So Disneyland, Jared's anyway. There Joylynn's yeah, the there. I think it was 1996. Jacqueline must have been 4. I must have been 6, give or take maybe a year.
Everyone's kind of mulling around.
I had to have at least been 6 because I was articulating pretty well at that point. And so
yeah, and
go ahead. Dad's got the big old VHS camcorder. So mid to late 90s.
And Jess is over here with a map saying, here's what we're going to do. And so your mom comes over and comes down by you and said, okay, Jessica, what is it that we're going to do? And he said, well, we're going to start here and go there. And apparently everything that you were planning out and plotting made sense because your mom very slowly and clearly said, okay, well, let's get going. And that it was allowing you to lead, allowing you the safety net to try your leadership skills and be a leader. And, you know, I guess to have that confidence in yourself that they believed in you and that you could take the bull by the horns, take the reins and lead everybody around because that's just who you were, who you're going to be.
And that also goes a lot to back to the childhood and who I am. Leave your mic on because I guarantee you're going to have thought process for my next comment. You have to turn your mic back on. I was very well cared for in having that bullheaded personality that could go one of two ways. And if you didn't nurture it correctly, you could end up being someone that I ended up spending my life in jail, or I became someone who could be a good leader. That really does come down to nurture. And I was blessed to have parents.
There's a lot of self-confidence in jail.
Yay. I've never been to the clink unlike the other person sitting on this couch, so I don't know about that. And I did throw you under that bus. Okay.
That episode coming much, much later.
So back to my point on the nurture aspect of being someone who, and I've said this on TikTok before, but my aunt, my father's older sister, called me Earl in a skirt. So that was another reason that I butted heads with my father. But I was given that safety net to be someone who showed the dominant personality trait to either develop quality leadership skills or in the real world or be an amazing gang leader in jail or in prison. So thankfully I had parents who
she'd be running it somewhere, folks.
I'd be running it somewhere. Thankfully it's on the outside and not the inside.
I'm just glad she's on my team.
So I had that opportunity. And that's so funny because that's actually a really great thing to talk about too, because I had that childhood where they saw those leadership skills and they boosted me up. But because my life has such a unique aspect of traveling the world because of the shows that my parents did and the businesses they had and the experiences I received, there's one thing that like pisses you off still to this day about me. And it's that I am confident even when I'm not. And you,
that's true.
You, and you will not know when
I'm not. You will fake it till you make it.
Yes. You will not know if I'm not confident because I will do it. But this last summer,
she's not going to be impressed with some dude in a V6 Camaro. That's all. She wasn't going to be impressed.
So this last summer, you and I pulled in and did, we own the International Lumberjack Shows, and we pulled into this brand new location, new festival that we'd never done before. Uh-huh. And I remember this so fondly because you had to drive home and take care of a different event that was going on that weekend. So mm-hmm. you drove the show trailer and truck up with me so that you could help me set up. And I had the car, and I remember pulling in and we had no idea where we were going. And this just happened like less than 6 months ago. And so this is my mindset. I grew up going, traveling the world, putting on shows. This is the personality that you develop when, and maybe not necessarily just personality, but this is like the mindset you get when you are, when you have that. So we pull in and I'm confused where to go. And Mike's like, where do you want me to pull? And I was like, just pull into the fucking middle of the road and block it. We are the main performance here. No one's going to care. Turn your lights on, block it. Just get out here and don't turn around. And I like holler.
I forgot. Everyone was waiting for us.
And it made me like stop. We were both stressed. We both had just spent hours in traffic that was ridiculous. And I was rude.
We're
and
still a married couple. We still argue.
Yeah, we're still a married couple. But at the same time, like I had to go. That was like my aha. I was so my father's daughter in that moment because my father would have yelled at me that way. Had I had that timid personality that kind of was like, wait, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be rude and block the road. He would have yelled at me like that and been like, no, chop, chop. We got work to do. Block it. We'll figure out where we're going. No one's going to get mad. They can go around. But it's just that domineering leadership, like showing up for work attitude is just, it was so ingrained as me as a child. And one of the interesting things too, that I also, going back to that factors of influencing the frontal cortex development, is that growing up with a single father who did run multiple businesses, one of the things that I started doing from an early age is I knew how to drive by the time I was 11, and I was driving down to the grocery store on my own by 12. And the agreement between my dad and I was that if I got pulled over, I'd say I just stole the car, and I never got pulled over.
Meanwhile, Earl probably knew all the police, and if they saw the vehicle go past, they're like, there goes Jessica.
No, I don't actually remember ever passing a police officer on my way to the grocery store. I feel
they're probably all behind the billboard just shaking their head.
There's no billboard where I was from. I'm out in the boonies.
Behind the brush.
So from a young age, I just had responsibilities that most people my age, even now, like people born in the early 90s, they weren't living and developing those type of skill sets.
I wasn't allowed to borrow mom's car until I was 15. So.
Yeah, I was borrowing my dad's car quite a few years before you were, age-wise. Yeah,
I think I was first driving stick, like 12 or 13, my great-grandpa's car. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I learned to drive before you then, technically. And one of the reason was is because Dad needed help moving logging equipment. So at 13, I was moving logging equipment down State Highway 2 in Washington State, helping him moving it from one logging job to the next because he needed that help. So I was given a different level of responsibility that, and here's the other thing on this, is that my younger sister wasn't necessarily put into those situations to help in that sense because Dad recognized two different personalities.
She has a much softer personality.
Yeah. And so it was easier for someone who had that bullheaded personality could say, roll up my sleeves and say, well, I can do that. I mean, maybe I couldn't have, but I was going to fake it till I made it.
She's going to do it. She's going to scratch in the dirt and spit and give her a shot.
Yeah. So. And so it's, again, going back to childhood and what would an 18-year-old have in common with a 34-year-old? Well, life experiences just lead everyone differently. And yes, losing mom was very traumatic. And I hate this. I really hate this. And I'm just going to address it on this podcast. And my biggest pet peeve of anyone, whether it's family friends, whether it's someone that doesn't know me, I despise the question, oh, wouldn't you just give anything to have your mom for a few more years or your dad for a few more years? And actually, that one hurts my heart a little bit more with dad because I had dad for 2 decades more than I had mom. But no, I don't. Because who I am today as a person, I am really happy and proud of. And not just that, but like I love where we're at and who I'm with. And had she been alive, life would have turned out so much different. And by saying, gosh, you know, oh, I would have loved it if she stayed alive, because that would be saying, well, I would love if life was different. But then it's not appreciating who I am and where I'm at today. And again, I really love who I'm at, where I'm at today. And yeah, it was hard and it was different. And we were both given a really long leash. I tended to choke myself with mine more often than you did, I think, but
my mom trusted me pretty well. I don't think she had much choice, really. I was a good kid. My grandparents, I mean, Friday nights was Dukes of Hazzard. Saturdays are probably hanging out in the shop with Papa or going over to Million Elmer's out by the lake or something. And Sundays were church. So, I mean, there was a lot of responsibility in the upbringing. And
well,
yeah,
I
tested boundaries, but I wasn't a wild child either by any stretch of the means.
You were nothing like me in the wild child world.
No, I wasn't. We did some stuff like, you know, you kick the leaves that are raked under. You do stupid stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that's getting crazy, man.
Okay, I need to tell a story.
I don't want to get into the bad kid stories, but
I'm not going to tell a bad kid story. But I'm going to tell a story.
It's miles and miles and miles put on a bicycle because buddies and I, that's just what we did. That was our freedom. So we went out on bikes and rode around.
So I'm going to steal the limelight from you again because people are going to really want to know how does an 18-year-old have anything in common with a 34-year-old? So this really has to do with growing up with a single father and all the responsibilities that I was capable of taking on and I totally struggled through a lot of the things that Tessa was putting up with, but it made me a better human in the long run and developed skill sets that, again, people my age were not developing because they weren't put into those situations to have to develop those, which is totally fine. Like, and I am thankful that I was given those opportunities to be able to handle because I don't know how I would have done in my 20s, not been giving those because I would have really struggled because I was blessed to have a safety net to fail with a father who knew who I was as a very bullheaded kid. So, two things. Dad loved to say to me, I have as long of a leash as I want, but if I make a mistake, he'd pull that leash in. And with that leash was, if you're going to not do something smart, don't get caught. Because if I'm not doing something smart, I'm not getting caught. That means that I didn't end up in the hospital. I didn't end up in jail. I didn't end up with a teen pregnancy. So there was things that I was obviously doing that was risk-taking factor, but again, never ended up in jail, in the hospital, or with a teen pregnancy. So, like, those three things for him, perfect. Golden. I actually have never had a ticket either in my life.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually tracked something similar to that when I was talking to my kids. I said, be good. And if you can't be good, be smart. So that's just life.
I'm going to end this podcast on explaining how I was raised as a teenager that really developed me as a human being and prepared me for the real world. Joylynn was on TikTok and she talked about how if she's not teasing you, she probably doesn't like you. So I grew up in a family that we love pranking. And so, okay, this is also a really strange thing. From middle school on, I had co-ed parties, but again, we haven't even gotten into being raised with an older generation, but I was allowed co-ed parties in my middle school and high school years because I had pretty much like built-in chaperones with having siblings and cousins that were anywhere from 5 to 15 years older than me. They were built-in chaperones. And we had a family cabin that was really fun, that was a really great place to get everyone together and have parties. But in these parties with these, and these were primarily like in a school and or birthday parties, but this specific, I must have been turning 13, this specific party was in the winter, so it would have been for my birthday. There was lots of snow, and everybody from my class came to this party except for one. And I hope to God he never hears this podcast, but you know, whatever. So we decided that we needed to go over and not just teepee their house at 2 a.m, but an old trick that my dad learned that passed on to me is that firecrackers are also a really great thing to set off around people's house. And you can do so without getting caught if you use cigarettes. And I have an uncle who smokes like a chimney. So I learned at 13 how to cut cigarette lengths down to different lengths, put them at the ends of firecrackers, set them around the house, light them all off, and then all of us take off running, jump back. There had to be, I think, at least 4 vehicles, getaway vehicles, one driven by my dad, one driven by my uncle, and then 2 driven by my cousins.
Do not attempt these activities at home.
Yes. We are not we promote healthy age gap relationships. We don't promote on this podcast prankery where you are teeping and setting fireworks off at people's homes. That's not what we promote here, folks. Anyways, back to the story. So naturally, we teepeed it on all the kids. So, and I also went to private Christian school. So this would have been 6th or 7th or 8th grade that we did this. So it was all the Christian school kids with us.
Christian school, there you go.
Private Christian school. And all the kids were with us, teepeed the house, get all the fireworks going. And there was a big boom boom that set off the whole array of fun and boom booms happened, and we all took off running and giggling and zipped home. And then I remember going to church that next Sunday, and they acted like nothing happened because they weren't going to give us the satisfaction of that. So again, I grew up with this in the 90s and into the early 2000s with a very unique situation where I was given a lot more responsibility than most kids my own age. The shenanigans that I grew up with, the pranking, the fun, the ability to be able to drive a vehicle at 12 years old down to the grocery store to go grocery shopping and come home. And this would have been, what, in 2003 that I was doing this, and just living life on a whole other level. So by the time I was 18, man, I was stocking a house and making, like, this is another funny story. I learned to cook really well because I got tired of eating carcinogenic hot dogs because dad wasn't a great cook. So like my life experiences, my childhood was just so different, and I wouldn't change it for the world. There, like, people can come on here and be like, oh, this is all trauma response. Well, good on you for thinking that. But in all honesty, there's so many more stories.
Too many people take medications for life experiences anymore. So rather than just learn how to deal with it and roll with the punches and learning from something. These are all lessons.
These are. And I don't even feel like we've gotten into the full like childhood and how an 18-year-old could have been attracted to a 34-year-old and why would a 34-year-old remotely be attracted to an 18-year-old. But you know what?
Well, the whole Gen X thing, I think a lot of generational learnings has to be... depends on who the parents are, and
it does depend on who the parents are. We're gonna have to wrap this up. Yeah.
Gen X, I've been 30 since I was 10. I'll be 30 well past I'm 50, so I'm not aging. I'm not going anywhere. Maybe y'all think I look old. That's fine by me.
And so we're gonna, I feel like we just kind of scratch the surface on childhoods and what made us relatable at such a big age gap, but I think we can probably actually tie that into us before we met and who we were when we met. But again, this is Chronicles of a Feral Wife, where bold narratives and unfiltered tales unfold. And we had some really good unfiltered tales unfold. And I'm excited to continue this journey with you all.
Hopefully you heard me this time.
Hopefully we heard Mike this time. If not, then I guess there's always next week. But you folks have a wonderful week. And if you don't follow us on TikTok, go ahead and find me at That's Just Jess, because we do a lot of really fun age gap content and other content there as well. And we will see you all next week.